I think we're going to get started. And I would like to start by asking you if you have any questions about homework 2, which is due a week from today. Yes.
Can you just explain number 10?
Number 10, sure. Asks you to invent a bit. In lecture 2 or lecture 3, we talked about how you don't necessarily need to make bits out of switches or circuits. You can make bits out of anything as long as you keep in mind that you need to find a way to... So bits encode information. So you have to think about how are you going to encode true and false. Okay, so there needs to be some idea of information flowing through your network, your circuit, whatever you decide to use. I showed a video with dominoes, and the dominoes were so the information was flowing through by the dominoes, you know, hitting each other and falling. And you can take a look at that video again. That shows how to do this with dominoes and marbles. And I'd appreciate it if you didn't use those examples in your homework. So if you chose something else, just imagine some way to encode bits and some way to have the information flow. How does the information, I don't know. If anybody has any ideas, you can ask me or come to office hours and I'll tell you if it's good or not, if it works or not. It's basically any way you can think of encoding information and the information flow and information processing.
How does it encode one?
One or zero.
So the
dominoes example was just the zero or the one was where the domino hit the little paper that said a zero or the little paper that said a one. So basically, there was a paper on the left, a paper on the right, and whoever, if it was falling on the paper that said zero, it was a zero. If it was falling on the paper that said one, it was a one. That's how that was encoded. In the marbles, there were little holes where, where the domino, where the marble would stop, and, the domino, the holes were labeled zero and one. That's a way. I don't know. So that's my hint, I guess. And if you get stuck, just ask more on Wednesday or email. Yeah, this is a very open and ended question. So just use your imagination, basically. I just wanted to get your understanding of the bits and see how you got the idea. And so I like this problem because it really shows that, you don't necessarily need to use, transistors or switches. You can use anything, basically. Okay? Good enough for now for this one? If Michael Littman is going to come, I'm just going to interrupt what we're doing and let him do his little demo, and then I'm going to restart later after he finishes. So just so you know. All right, any other questions about the homework? Yeah.
I think it was number 7.
Compliments? No?
Or not.
With the odometer?
Yeah.
Okay, so this one, I don't know. I guess I feel a little bad because I did almost exactly this in class, but counting down instead of counting up. So I'm not sure what more I can say, but do you have a specific question?
I guess I was just making sure it was the same thing.
It was the same thing.
Okay.
Yep. There, if you do this, I think it's very tempting to just, kind of copy, what we did in class. Try to understand it because there's going to be something like this on the exam. So you want to make sure that you understand the principle. So that you can, solve. They're all going to be similar to this, but they might be a little different. There's always going to be a description of, what is happening. So, here I'm saying, you have a 2-bit number, and bit A and bit B. Bit A is the most significant bit. Bit B is the least significant bit. And, you know, this is what needs to happen. So, you know, 1 second you have, it says zero. The next second is going to say one. The next second is going to say two. So you can make a table out of that and, you know, get a formula and stuff like that. So it's always going to be a very well-defined problem, but make sure you understand how to do. And not, don't just copy, you know, the slides. Any other questions? About the homework? Okay. Maybe there's going to be more questions on Wednesday. Okay.
So last time, we started talking about programming.
And we looked a little bit about at Scratch, and this is not working.
Before I go, I get into that. I had a bug in my little program that I showed. So we were trying to have this blinking pattern. We had three lights, A, B, and C, and we wanted the first second we wanted B to be on and A and C to be off. On the second, we wanted B to be off and A and B to be on, A and C to be on, and so on, right? So I showed this, and we came up with this truth table, and we said that we wanted to find out what A, new A, and new B, and new C are, and I came up with these numbers, and we tried to plug them into the program, and it didn't work. So So you know, if you look at this table, you can see that new B is exactly like C, but it's also exactly like not B. So you can express new B as either C, it's because it's exactly this, they're the same, or you can express it as not B. So whenever new B is false, B is true, and wherever new B is true, B is false. So if you do that, then this is the Christmas lights. So if you do that, you see that I set up the the highest light. I set it to B. The next one to not be C, I set it to be, so new C to be old B. And I set the first three lights to be A, B, and C. And they're blinking as we were trying to make them blink. So that solved the, that's all the problem. We came up with a different expression, but this one is simpler than that. Okay, so just want to show you that. Another thing that I would like to show you again is about our the words that we invented a few classes ago, and I wanted to keep you updated about if Google finds the word. So we had two words. Our first word was dude face with a double L, and Google still can't find it even though it is on the website somewhere. So this is our class website, and our word is here. So it's definitely on the internet, but Google can't find it. And also our second word, is also not found by Google. This one is on the internet too. But there's no link to this webpage, so I have to type in the URL, okay? So this is definitely on the internet, but Google doesn't know about it. So that being said, let's move on to... we started last time to talking about how we can draw. We talked about a whole bunch of different things, but we talked about drawing for a little bit. And
we saw that, you know, at, just as in the homework, you had to make a square. And you probably, when you wrote the code, you probably wrote something like this. Maybe, you know, when flag is clicked, pen down, and move 100 steps and turn 90 degrees 4 times. Probably it looks, it's probably going to look very similar. And what we talked about was subroutines, and I wanted to show you how the what the Scratch program looks like. And this is pretty important. We talked about defining a new command. So the computer, we said that it would be helpful if we just, if the computer would just know what a square means. Just draw a square, and if we wouldn't have to tell it to, you know, move 100 steps, turn 90 degrees 4 times every single time. So here, this example shows how you can define a new command. And the way you define it is using when I receive from the yellow control menu, you use this this block, and this says when I receive square, repeat 4 times, I move 100 steps and turn 90 degrees. Okay, so this is how you use defining a new word. And then in the main script, you just say broadcast the name of the command and wait. And then what this is gonna do. Should draw a square. It says I will draw a square, and I didn't put the pen down. And now it drew a square. Okay? So this is how you use, this is going to be pretty important. This is really important to understand, again, how to define new commands. This is one way to define this command, right? Just write everything that the CAD needs to do. And you know, as I said before, you can notice that we could just, so we repeat these two lines 4 times. So instead of writing all this, a short way of writing it is by using the repeat loop. And the repeat loop is, again, in the commands menu. And you just say repeat however many times you want it to repeat something. So 4, here you can change this. You know, move 100 steps, turn 90 degrees, and this is what it's going to do. So this is a whole script that I just showed you. Another kind of loop is the infinite loop. The infinite loop, you can have it in the... You have it in the control menu again, and it just says forever, and whatever you want it to do, you just put it in this loop, and this is going to repeat this subroutine, you know, an infinite number of times until you stop it. So this is another kind of loop. And this is what it's actually doing. And it's kind of hard to see why. Let's see if I have it here. So I just copied the code on the page. And the only difference between the code that I just showed you on that slide and this is that it doesn't have a forever loop. So I'm just going to replace the repeat for loop with a forever loop. Forever, actually, I'm going to put the forever loop here. Okay. So the forever loop, you find it in the control menu. There's a forever if.
It's up above.
Oh, here.
10.
Right? Okay. So forever. I broadcast. There's not enough space in here.
So this should work. No, that's not what I want. Okay. So square size.
Draw the square of size. We talked about variables too.
So this orange thing is a variable. We set the size of the triangle to 200, and this is, you know, forever. Use the subroutine and run it. And this is going to draw a square, and we also need to turn 5 degrees.
So I'm going to add turn 5 degrees. I'm going to make this a little smaller. Okay. So now this is exactly like the code on the slide. It's a little small. So what it's doing, it's drawing a square. Maybe it should be a little bigger. It's drawing a square and turning 5 degrees, and then drawing another square and turning 5 degrees. Okay, and then as it's doing that, it makes this pretty pattern. But the problem is it never stops. So, I mean, we can stop it, but it goes on forever if we leave it. You know, until your computer crashes or until, you know, you die or something like that. So, okay. How can we change this so it draws the same thing, but it doesn't repeat forever? So how can we change the script to stop after it finishes drawing whole circle? Yeah.
Just say like repeat like 100 times or however many times it takes it to get around.
Okay. Yeah. How many times does it take? How many degrees is a circle? 360. What? So we turn every time we turn 5. So how many times do we have to?
360 over 5, right? How much is that?
70.
Okay. So let's replace this.
I'm not sure what happened.
Oh, what happened?
He hit the edge of the screen.
He hit the edge of the screen. Okay. Let's put him here. Oh, maybe I should make the size. I don't want to move the, change the sizes of this. I hope it's not going to hit the screen, the edges this time.
Okay, it went too far. 360 divided by 5, 72, right? Yeah, I don't know why it's doing that. Anyway,
moving on. So this is the infinite loop. Now, there's also a repeat until loop, and I call it the nag loop. This is not the official name. But I was trying to figure out how to explain it in a very helpful way, So people get very confused by this loop. But what this loop says is, I want something to happen until a condition is met. So what I said is nag until you get what you get.
You get what you want. There's what you get, an extra one. So nag until you get what you want, or repeat nag until what I want happens. So this is the basic idea. This is the structure of the loop. So repeat until what I want happens, and that's the condition that we put in there, and then, you know, nag, or do whatever I want to do until my condition happens. So that, you know, if they, for example, we our soup wasn't salty enough, you know, we would repeat until salty enough, you know, we want it to be salty enough, and we add salt. Okay? So this is the same, this is the principle of the repeat loop. Okay? So is this clear? So here, we will put the condition of stopping, the stopping condition, and this is what we want to happen repeatedly until our condition is met. And actually, I wrote a little, before I go into the quicker question. Okay. Okay, I have a nagging shark. So you have a fish tank with a shark, and it's really hungry, and it can't, it's so exhausted and hungry that it can't really hunt by itself. So you need to feed it, it needs four bowls of, I'm not sure what those are. But anyway, it needs four bowls of food, and after it has four bowls of food, it can go and hunt on its own. So this is what I said. Repeat until food is bigger than four. Every time I give it a bowl of food, this variable, the food variable, increases by one, and I'll show you that in a second. So this is what, you know, what it's doing. It's saying feed me until you give it more than four bowls of food, so at least five. And after it gets the food, it says, now I'm fed and ready to hunt on my own. So let's see what it does. I'm going to start it, and it just says, feed me every 3 seconds. You know, if you leave it for 2 hours, it's going to do that. And then when I click on the bowl, I'm not sure if you can see. You probably can't see, but the food variable that's on the corner, that's the value, is going to increase. So now it's one. I'm doing two. I'm doing three. And four, and I'm going to click, and it's the condition, so now food is four. If I'm going to click one more time, the food is going to be five. So this condition is met, what I wanted happened, so I'm getting out of the loop. So, food is five, and yeah. So now it's ready to go and hunt, all right? Does this make sense? Is clear? Any questions?
Do you have it set for like clicking on the food bowl?
Yeah, you make a different sprite, and you click here, and then you can write the code. And I said when sprite 3 is clicked, I'll add one to food. This is so time consuming. Like, I spend, yeah, it's really fun. Anyway, okay. So now we're going to have a quicker question. Please switch your the subfrequency. Okay, here's the question. This is what does the script do? And the script is, when the flag is clicked, set time to 10, repeat until time equals 0, and in the repeat it says say time for 1 second, play sound zoop until done, and change time by minus one. Change time by minus one, just whatever the value of time was, it subtracts one from it. So if time was not, if it was 10, it's going to be 9 after this command. Okay? So it basically adds minus one to time.
Can you say it one more time?
Yes. So when the flag is clicked, it sets time to 10, and it repeats until time equals 0 the following three things. It says say time for 1 second, and time is a variable. Play sound zoop until done, so it plays the sound, and change time by -1. And the options are A, if time is 0, the cat says the word time and plays the sound zoop. B, the cat says time, the word time, 10 times, and each time plays the sound zoop. C, the cat counts down from 10 to 0, and each time plays the sound zoop. D, nothing happens because time is equal to 10 in the beginning, and it never goes into the loop. E, this is an infinite loop. The cat will go on counting and playing the sound zoop forever. Okay, I'm going to stop at 2:20.
All right, I'm stopping. Okay. How many more people need to click? All right, I'm really stopping. So, you got 67% for C, and...
Yeah, I realize there's a mistake, because it's actually, it counts down from 10 to 1, but I just realized it now. Because if it's, if the time is 0, so say the time was 1, it says change time by -1, and it goes here, repeat until time is 0, it's actually 0, so it's not doing this anymore. But anyway, that's the closest answer, so... C is the right answer.
And the popular, another popular one was B. B was, the cat says time, yeah. So,
because in here I said say time as a variable, it's actually going to replace time with the value of time and say, you know, whatever the value of time is. Okay, so let's see if I have this as a script.
Yeah, so this was my creepy version of question clicker question one. The cat turns into a bat. I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking to explode, but that was even creepier. So. Let's see if this works with the sound. Oh, it works.
So it says, notice how it says the variable time. Okay. So it doesn't say time. It says, you know, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, da-da-da, because this is set as a variable. Okay? Save time. Otherwise it would not be orange, and it would have quotes around it.
Okay. That worked out well. Let's see. Next one. It's the same exact thing, only
instead of change time by -1, it's change time by 1. So the only thing that changed is it's the same script except for this line, and the options are the same as before. And I'm going to start. Can everybody see? No? Can you see here?
There's a lot of wires. Okay.
let's give it another 20, 15 seconds. Officially. Okay, getting ready to stop.
Popular answer is E. This is an infinite loop. Can somebody give that answer, explain why, or anybody? Yes.
You're starting at 10, going up by 1 every second.
Yes.
Never
exactly. So what this loop does is it increases the time, so it never gets to the stopping condition. Very good.
Well, say that again, please.
Yes. So I said that before when I was explaining this loop that the cat stays in the loop until this condition is met. Okay? So this is going to stop when this condition is met. The time starts by being 10, and every time it's increased by 1. So it's going to be 10 the first time, it's going to become 11, it's going to become 12, 13, da 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 da.
But it says change time down by 1.
Well, I didn't say down.
No, it's programmed down. It says change time
down.
Right.
This is just the way Scratch looks, like, that's how it looks.
But doesn't the arrow, see the little black arrow there?
No.
That indicates
you can scroll this little menu and all the variables show up here.
And so that's actually change time up.
Yeah. And even if it's change time down, it's you're going to put a negative number. So that's why before it was change time by minus 1. So you always add this to the time, the variable. Okay? Yeah, that was, I guess that was confusing. I can see how that would be. All right. Okay? Clear? Okay, I have a few more clicker questions, which are, I put separately. You have this program. You have the first light, new A, is going to be the old C. B, new B, is going to be not C. And new C is going to be false. And we set up these lights, the first four lights to A, the last four lights to B. And I'm asking, what is this program going to do? Okay? And the options are A and B have opposite values and keep blinking. B, A and B cycle through all patterns of true and false. So they become, you know, true, 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 false, false, true, false, false. They cycle through that. C, A is false and B is true and they don't change. D, A alternates between true and false and B stays false. E, A and B are both false and they don't change. So remember those tables that we made. We made a table where, with six columns, the first three columns were A, B, and C. I guess you don't really need C. So you need only four columns. The first two columns are A and B. The next two columns are new A and new B. And you just fill out that table and see what the lights do. I don't know. I'm going to start doing it. Any questions about it?
You can start with false, false, if you want. So she asked, how do you know what's the original value? And I said that you can just start with random values, which can be false, false and false. You can start with A being false and B being false, if you want. And, you know, go from there. Good question. Okay, I'm going to stop at 1:30. Is not B, new B is old A, and C is false. And the you have the same options. A and B have opposite values and keep linking. B, A, and B cycle through all patterns of true and false. C, A is false and B is true and they don't change. D, A alternates between true and false and B stays false. E, A and B are both false and they don't change. You can start with all false, if you want. So A and B being false in the beginning. Oh, thank you. So what I mean by answer A, just to clarify, A and B have opposite value. In a given time step, A and B always have opposite values.
A and B always have opposite values?
Yes. That's option A. Okay? So option A says at each step, A and B will have opposite values.
Do they start with opposite values?
They start with whatever you want them to start. I said false, false, if you want. But don't think that. You can start with opposite values if you want. All right. And also, when you fill out the table, go as many steps as you need until the pattern repeats. So until you get what you started with. Don't give up, you know, right away. You know? Sometimes you need more time. So. Okay. I'm going to stop pretty soon. Okay, 5 more seconds. Okay, I'm stopping. 69. Does one click? No? Okay.
Yeah. So
that's what I saw. It was 80% A, so that's why I... Okay, so B is the right answer. And the reason why A is not the right answer is...
All right, so let's walk through what's happening. So let's start with false and false. Okay, new A was not B, right? New A is not B, and B is A. That's for me. Okay. Okay, new A will be what? So new A is not B. B is false, new A is true, right? New B is going to be A. A was false. So already on the second time step, so I'm copying this here. This is the second time step. New A and new B in the first time step become A and B in the second time step. Or second, okay?
So you can see clearly that A is not right because new A and new B have opposite values, which it was what I said, I guess. So we're cool so far.
Now let's see, if A is true and B is false, what is new A? So B is false, so new A? True. Okay. And new B is old A. What is old A? True. Okay. So they're true. So okay, this is where you see that A and B don't necessarily have opposite values. Okay. Copying this here. Now what is new A? New A is not B. Was it? More confidence. False. Okay. What about B?
True.
Okay. Thank you. So we're still not back to where we started. False. True. So what is new A now? False. New B? False. Okay. So now we got to a point where
the pattern on the fifth second is the same as the pattern on the first second. Okay? So you can see that A and B go through all the combinations of trues and falses in this case, which was answer B.
What is the period of this pattern? So again, the period we said is the number of different patterns that we see in A and B.
Four. Yes.
Okay, and last question. Okay, this is a tricky one, just so you know.
So this is, the question is, what does the sprite do? And the script is, when flag is clicked, pen down, move 100 steps, turn left 60 degrees, move 100 steps, turn left 60 degrees, move 100 steps. And the options are A, it's a hexagon, B is a triangle with equal sides facing up, C is this line, broken line, and D, it's a triangle facing down. And I'm going to stop.
Sorry? What's that?
It's facing, it's facing straight that way.
So this is a sprite, this is the head of the sprite, and it's facing that way.
Straight.
Thank you.
please don't use your computers. For now. Okay. I'm going to give it another 20 seconds.
Five more. I'm going to stop. And answer B. Okay. I think it's the first time that the majority, the right answer is not the majority answer. Okay, so I have this one, actually. The right answer is C. Because you have to, like, put yourself in the sprite's shoes or pause. So, you know, so it's true that this triangle has angles of 60 degrees. But just the way it moves, so if you're the sprite and you start here, you move 100 steps, then you turn left 60 degrees. You really have to imagine you're the sprite. So I guess the easiest way is to just show you the script. If I remember what it was.
So you're going to make the triangle even 120 degrees.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so this is exactly what I had on the slide there. And this is what the cat does.
And yeah, to make the other ones, I just changed. So for the triangles, I think it was 120 I put here. And then the hexagon obviously doesn't work. Okay.
That question looks very easy, but it's actually tricky, I think.
All right, so again, we talked about loops, and I showed you the infinite loop. There's a repeat loop, which says repeat a certain number of times, a fixed number of times. If we want to make a triangle or if we want to make a square, we know exactly that we want to have do a certain things, you know, four times for the square, three times for the triangle. We had the repeat until loop, which we had a clicker questions about, and also we have recursion. And I showed you the infinite looping. If I replaced the forever loop to a repeat 4, we had a repeat 72. If we have a repeat 4, this is what it does. And we can actually write the same thing in different ways, using different kinds of loops. So, for example, this is the longest way to draw the four triangle. Again, what we're doing is this. This is what we're doing. So we can write it this way. We can write make a square, turn 5 degrees, make another square, turn 5 degrees, 4 times. Or notice that we repeat the same time 4 times. So we just put a repeat 4. We put whatever we're repeating in a repeat for loop. To do the same thing. And then we have, we also can use a repeat until. So this was the first one that we used, the most inefficient one. This was the better one, which is shorter. And now here, it's the same as the example with the timer. We set a counter to 0. No, we set a counter to 4. We wanted to repeat something 4 times. We repeat until the counter is 0. And we draw the square and turn 5 degrees. And that this is going to do exactly the same thing. We decrease the counter by 1. So we said change counter by -1. And so this is going to repeat 4 times. So this is exactly the same thing with a repeat loop and with a repeat until loop. And we can also do the more complicated, again, this is zoomed in. This is with conditions. So this says, it looks very scary, but it's actually pretty easy. So we have the counter set to 4, and we said if the counter is not 0, we make a square and change the counter by -1. And again, ask, if the counter is not 0, make another square, change by -1, and so on.
And this is not very pretty. You know, you don't have to, you really know how to do this, but just understand if I show you something like this, what it does. Okay, so now we're going to talk about recursion, which is a very important concept in computer science, and it's a pretty tricky concept, but we use it a lot, and it's a really cool idea. So recursion, these are examples of recursion. This is, I found it on the internet, a guy took a picture of his computer screen and then set that picture on his desktop as a wallpaper, and then took another picture of his computer with that picture on the wallpaper, and so on. Okay, so he did that repeatedly and got this pattern. How would you describe in words what this picture? If you're on the phone with somebody wanting to describe this picture to somebody, how would you do it? What would you say? It requires a lot of courage, I guess. Just like describe it exactly. So computer screen.
Does it have like a mirror?
Yes, that works too. That's kind of infinite in a way. But this is what I would say. I would say it's a computer screen, and on the computer screen, it's the same computer, right? So basically, I'm defining the picture by using the same. I'm describing the picture by using the picture. It's kind of weird. This is, you really can't see this, but this is a box of cocoa, and there's a lady who's holding a tray and has a box of the same cocoa. So on this box, there's the same lady. And she's holding a tray, and we really can't see what's here, but it's actually the same thing. I really like this example, too. This guy asks, how many people are you in your organization? And this guy answers, it's me and all the members in Department 1 and all members in Department 2. So this guy doesn't really know how many people are in the company, but he knows that there's two departments and himself. And, you know, this guy can go to Department 1 and ask, how many people are in Department 1? Well, there's 40 people in Department 1, and he can go to Department 2. How many people in Department 2? There's 20. So he can figure out what the number of people in the company is. It's basically another way of reduction. So we have a problem. This guy is trying to figure out how many people are in the company, and this guy doesn't really know the answer, but he knows that he can break the problem into smaller problems. So he's one, and then there's two smaller problems. How many people in Department 1? How many people in Department 2? And these guys do exactly approximately the same thing. Oh, in Department 1, there's me and all the members in Project 1 and all the members in Project 2 and so on. This is what the guy in Department 1 answers. And in Department 2, this guy says it's just me. So in Department 2, there's one person. In Department 1, there's this guy and however members, some of the members on all the projects. And then he can go to every project and ask how many people are working on each project. Okay? All right. So this is the formal definition of recursion. Recursion is a method of defining a command in computer science in which the command being defined is applied within its own definition. Okay? So when I described the computer screen, I was using the computer screen in the definition of the computer screen. And you know, if you were to describe this picture to another person, you would say, I'm describing you a box of cocoa, and there's a lady and some yellow writing, and she's holding a tray with a box of the same cocoa. So I'm using the box of cocoa to describe the box of cocoa. Okay. So the way it works is, you know, this cannot go forever, right? It has to stop somewhere. In the example with the manager in the company, you know, at some point they're going to say, okay, in this project there's that many people and stop, that's it. So when the guy gets to the lowest level, it's done, right? And then it has to stop. If it's not done, then simplify the problem, break it into smaller problems, and solve the smaller problems, and assemble the results into a solution for the original problem. So, for example, this guy can say, as this guy answered, as soon as he finds out how many people are in Department 1,
how many people are in department two, he can say, oh, okay, so the solution is one plus however many were in department one plus however many were in department two. Okay, so here's another example. This is a factorial of a number, and a factorial of a number is just n factorial is 1 times 2 times 3 da 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 times n. So 100 factorial is 1 times 2 times 3 times and so on times until 100. And we know that 1 factorial is 1 by definition. So one way to solve this problem is by multiplying. But recursively, if we were doing this by recursion, we would say the following. Okay, let's compute 3 factorial. And we know that this is, we're not going to use this. This is how we can compute it, but we're going to try to do it differently. And we don't know how much 3 factorial is. Step one, are we done yet? We're not done yet. We don't know what 3 factorial is. So if not, simplify the problem. And you also have to figure out how to simplify the problem. So simplifying the problem in this case is, 3 factorial is 2 factorial times 3, right? So 1 times 2 times 3 is 1 times 2 times 3. Okay? So this is how we simplify the problem. We divide it into two smaller problems. We know how to do multiplication. If we knew how much this was, how much 2 factorial was, we would know how to compute 3 factorial. Okay? So now we have another problem, compute 2 factorial. And step one is, are we done yet? We're not. We don't know how much 2 factorial is. Simplify the problem, and we know that 2 factorial is 1 factorial times 2. So we have the new problem is, what is 1 factorial? Are we done? We're done. We know that 1 factorial is 1, so we stop. And because we have the answer to this problem, we can go in here. And we know that 1 factorial is 1, so this is going to be 1 times 2 is 2. And we can go back here, because we know how much 2 factorial is, and compute this. 2 factorial times 3 is 2 times 3 is 6. Another example is drawing a tree. And one way of doing this would be, so this is what I want it to look like. And I'm saying, okay, move 100 steps, turn 45 degrees, move not 100. We make a tree of size 8. So move 8 steps, turn 45 degrees, move 4 steps, turn 45 degrees, move 2 steps, you know, and so on. So I could just describe everything that that I need to do, or I could just use a recursive definition where tree is in the definition of the tree. So a tree of size 8, this is what this says. A tree of size 8 is, I'm putting the pen down, I'm starting here. Actually, let me move. So this is the, it's not a cat, but, you know, imagine it was a cat, and it's facing that way. And it's moving 8 steps, and it's drawing a line of 8 pixels. It's turning 45 degrees, and it's drawing another tree of size 4. And then it's turning 90 degrees, and it's drawing another tree of size 4, okay? And that's how it's drawing the tree. And notice that when I said, you know, this is how you draw a tree of size 8, I'm using the tree in the definition of the tree, basically. So what's really happening? What is the, how does a computer do it? Again, I'm walking through these steps. This is fine. I think everybody agrees with it. I'm turning. Now when it gets to tree of 4, what happens is tree of 4, it doesn't know what that means. So it's going back to the tree definition, and actually 3 of 4 is a pen down, move 4 steps, turn 45 degrees, tree of 2, turn 90 degrees. So it's the same thing, only with the size divided by 2. So it's putting the pen down, it's moving 4 steps, turning 45 degrees, and now it has a tree of 2, which is this. And then it's going back, turns 9 degrees, it makes another tree of 2. And so it's finished with a tree of 4, turning, making another tree. Okay? So that's how that works. This is a recursive, Scratch doesn't allow recursion very much. But this is one thing that we could do. This is a recursive
command because I'm saying the name of the command is pattern, and I'm using pattern here too. So this is saying when I receive pattern, I'm making a square, I'm turning 5 degrees, I'm changing a counter, and then I make another. I call pattern again, and it's going here. Oh, pattern, I make a square, I turn, and so on. And the problem with this, anybody see? So I want to make 4 squares. That's what I want to do. What is the problem in this? This is very tricky, but you think it. Well, the problem is I never tell it to stop, right? I don't say, I say, you know, change counter by -1, but I don't say if the counter is 0, stop. I never say that. So this is going to do go forever. So the right way to do it is saying when I receive pattern, if the counter is bigger than 0, I make the square and turn 5 degrees, I decrease the counter, and I broadcast pattern again. And it's going to decrease the counter until it reaches 0. When it reaches 0, this condition is going to be false, so it's not going to go in here at all. It's going to stop. Okay, so the proper recursion always contains the base case, which is when are we stopping. So in this case, we said if counter is bigger than 0, it goes on. If counter is 0, we stop. Otherwise, it's going to go forever. And also, the dividing the problem into more simple problems if we're not done. Okay? Any questions about recursion? This is just a very used, it's an idea that's used a lot in computer science. Okay, let's see how we do it. All right. So yeah, in the case of the tree, each tree is made out of a line and 2 separate trees. And the base case is when I reach the size 1. When I reach a size 1, I stop. I just make a line of size 1, and that's it. And that's how you make fractals. I don't know how many of you have heard of fractals. Fractals are recursive definitions. Any recursive definition in nature that you can think of? You ever seen? Okay. Broccoli. Is recursive. You have the, there's little broccolis on the stalk broccoli. And anyway, yeah, I know. If you're a computer scientist, you see all kinds of things. Right. Yeah. Fractals are serious recursive structures, yeah. Broccolis. Okay, so here's where we are right now. We talked about bits, we talked about low level, we talked about electricity and switches, we talked about logic, we talked about ends, nots, and ors, how to take those bits, how to wire them together, how to make little boxes, and we talked about Boolean algebra. This is a very low, very low level. And we also talked about a high level, Scratch is at a very high level. And we don't really know what's between, the little cat moving around and drawing things, and bits, right? So we still need to fill this gap here. And so we would like to make if we had a problem, if we had to build a computer, we want to make circuits that we can use to implement any function. We don't just want an adder that adds 5 plus 3. We want an adder that adds any 2 numbers. So we want a very general circuits. And we saw that this was the Christmas lights, drawn a little differently. So what happened here? We had the inputs. We had A, B, and C. Sometimes we had a reset button. And this is the logic of the circuit of the lights. So we said that stuff like new A is old B or C. So there is some OR gates, there's some NOT gates. These are wired a certain way, and they output new A, new B, and new C according to the logic inside. And so these lights also go to light bulbs, right? So they light
certain light bulbs. But they also go with 1 second of delay to back in, right? Back into this circuit, and so you got that repeated pattern of, you know, this is what happens on the first second. I feed these back in. You know, they go through this logic again. I have new values, and so on. So is this clear? This architecture, how it worked? Okay. And now a real computer. This is a simple computer, but it's the same kind of thing. So it has some inputs, and it has state variables, and this is the circuit, just as the circuit that we used before. And sometimes you have a memory that stores the values of the output going through this logic here. And this, the real computer, this is the basic architecture, is this is a control unit, which basically has ends, nuts, and ors, a lot of circuits inside. This is a unit that computes arithmetic operations, so adding, subtracting, multiplying. It has a little bit of memory here where it stores, you know, whatever it needs, the variables that it's adding. And you have keyboard, right? You have input. This is very simple, right? You can have the input can be a camera, it can be microphone, anything you use to get your data into the computer. And the keyboard, when you type stuff in, it goes into the computer, and the computer processes it. And also, the data sometimes goes into the memory. This is a very simple architecture. And for example, you know, you want to do operations like adding two bits, right? And I think we saw this before. So when adding two bits, you can have the two bits X and Y and a carry. And I'm sure most of you can do this now, figure out what the values are for C prime. C prime is the new carry, and Z is the sum of the bits. So, for example, what is C prime and Z on this line? So when X is 0, Y is 1, and the carry is 1. Remember, we're adding two bits. We're adding X and Y, and we might have a carry, too. So basically, we're adding the carry and X and Y. What are C prime? What is new carry and Z? What is that? 1, 1. Okay, so 0 plus 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. So who is 1 and who is 0? The carry is 1 and the Z is 0. Yeah. Okay, what about this one? What is the carry in Z? 1, 1. Exactly. What about here? What is the carry? And what is Z? Okay, good. All right, so we can build this table, and when we want to add two bits, so for example, you know, 1, 1 plus 1, 0, we need three bits for the result, right? Because even though we're adding two numbers that are two bits, we might have a carry and need an extra bit. So generally, if we wanted to write this in a very general way, we can have two carries up here, and we have the first number is composed of two bits, x1 and x2. The second number is composed of two bits, y1 and y. I'm sorry. X1 and X0, the second number is Y1 and Y0, and the result is Z2, Z1, Z0, okay? And this is a very general form, and we can go through all the possible combination of values, and you would get this. You get a huge truth table, you apply truth table to formula, and you get this, and I'm not going to go over it. I'm sure you kind of know why this is and how to get it if you really needed to. But this is really adding general any two bit numbers together, okay? And this is how you compute the result, basically, of this adding. So you can make a circuit that computes this. So how many ands, nots, and ors do you need to compute C1, for example? How many ands? let's just count the ends, right? So we need an end here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 ends, AND gates to compute the Z. And so on. So we can figure out any, all the gates that we, all the ands, nots, and ors that we need to find what Z2, Z1, and Z0 are. So as a summary, for you can use, so computing Zi. Zi is just, if you wanted to have a general length, so if you had, if you wanted to add up any two binary numbers, Zi would be the ith bit. But we use 16 and 6 ors and nots to compute the sum of two numbers. So to compute, to make this operation, we need this number of gates, and this is called a full adder because it adds any two bit numbers. And we can make this adder in hardware. We can actually take we can take the wires, we can take AND gates and NOT gates, and actually wire them together and you know, create this circuit. Doing stuff in hardware is very good because they're very fast. It's just electricity running through wires, which is basically the speed of light, almost. Right. So this is really good, but it's very hard. If once you made something, that's the only thing it can do. Once you have a coffee maker, it can't make fries. So once you made a two-bit adder, that's all it can do, and you can't change that. And you have to make your subtractor, and you have to make your multiplier, and you have to, you know, do all the things that you need. On the other hand, if you have software, we saw that we can make the cat do anything. So, you know, the cat can add, can subtract, we'll see that. So that's really easy for us. The disadvantage is that it's really much slower. And, you know, you probably can't tell because, you know, everything we've done has been very simple, but things in software are very, very slow. And you know, there's always a trade-off. But, you know, people program in software. So what we need is we need to make a language, so a scratch kind of thing, on a very low level, on a level of bits, okay? Which is called, so we need it to be simple enough to be able to implement it in hardware, but it needs to be flexible enough so we could have a lot of operations, and we're going to call it a machine language. And for example, if we have this this expression, A equals A and not B and C, or not A and B and C, we are going to break it down into very small chunks of instructions. And we're going to say, we're going to use this accumulator, which is going to help us, you know, break down, and you're going to see how the instructions become very simple because we use this accumulator. So, for example, we can say accumulator equals B, accumulator equals accumulator in C. So what happens here? Accumulator gets the value of B. In here, accumulator is accumulator and C. And so because accumulator was B before, in this case, it's going to be B and C. I'm going to go over all these, but I just wanted to show you that this is our instruction set. So all the operations that we can do are on this slide. There's no other operations that we're allowed to do. We can use variables A through P, and we can use ORs, ANDs, and NOTs. And these are the codes for the variables, and we're going to pick it up next time.